Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joins. Today we are talking about the pros and cons of squats. But first, I want to read this Evo member story because she came from a background of doing lots of cardio and kind of random strength classes and having all this pain and noticing negative body composition as the years went on. And I want to talk about what happened when she switched over. So this is from Kelly. Kelly says, I am 45 with two teenage kids. Prior to having kids, I was a long distance runner. After my first pregnancy, I was found to have bladder prolapse and diastasis. I met with a specialist and they told me my running high impact exercise days were over and that I should avoid lifting more than 10 pounds, make sure I didn't get constipated, and make sure I didn't gain weight. They told me I should probably avoid all flexion, crunch type movements forever, even sitting up in bed. They emphasized rolling to my side first. Side note, this is Shannon speaking. If you have a provider that is telling you these things, please find a new provider. Okay, back to Kelly. So I got a Peloton and did spin classes 4 to 5 times per week. I would take an occasional random strength class on the platform and I was constantly sore and in pain. Every time I stood up from sitting, I would be hunched over for 10 to 20 steps before I could stand upright. Meanwhile, my body composition was getting worse. Each year at work, we would get a body composition analysis as part of our yearly physical. My weight didn't change much, but my body fat percentage was creeping up over a decade from 25% to 36%. So she was gaining fat and losing muscle. She said, I couldn't understand how I could be so active, and yet this was still the case. I found the Fit Body Happy Joins podcast, I think from one of the pelvic floor therapy interviews. I started listening regularly and learned about the concept of being under-muscled, and it made total sense with what was going on with my body. I listened to the podcast for a full year before joining because I didn't want to pay for yet another program that I didn't use. My final straw was sitting at my teenage son's basketball game one winter. Bleachers, among other types of chairs, were a trigger for my back pain and I was struggling. I can relate to that. I decided I couldn't make the whole game, so I told my husband I was going to stand next to the bleachers for a while to stretch my back. When I got down there, I realized I was standing with all the grandparents who couldn't sit comfortably in the bleachers. So I joined Evelo in January 2023. I followed the nutrition modules and the 3-time-per-week program. I cut way back on spinning and focused on walking and a few short HIIT rides per week in addition to Evelo. Almost immediately, I was shocked with how I wasn't wrecked with joint pain for days after a workout. A year in and I am never in pain. I can sit in any chair. I don't feel stiff after sitting for however long. I did the core stability program at first, but now I am doing burn and ball crunches with no issues with my prolapse or diastasis. And I have moved up in some of my lifts to 35-pound dumbbells. I had a follow-up body composition scan and my body fat percentage went back down to 24% and I gained almost 5 pounds of muscle in a year. I am forever grateful for Evelo. I truly feel like I found my forever plan that works for me. I cannot believe when I look back that I hesitated to join. It's worth every penny and so much more. Thank you. Kelly, first off, this means so much to read your story and thank you for giving Evelo a try. I think you are a testament that you can focus on nutrition and intentional exercise and not only see better results, but feel better too. And I think anyone who has been in chronic pain can relate to the bleachers being a trigger, myself included. And I know that it can be empowering to not only get stronger, but to be able to live your life without feeling like a tin man. All right, so let's get into today's topic. We often get asked why we don't do squats in our programming, and I want to speak to the pros and cons of heavy squats so you can make a decision about whether or not they are right for you. But one thing that I really want you to take away from this episode is that there's not a single exercise that you have to do in order to be functional, and I want to speak to that in this episode because I think it can be discouraging for people when they're told that they have to do XYZ exercise, and even though they dread it or even though it doesn't feel safe in their body, or even though it causes pain or discomfort, they have to figure out a way to incorporate it into their routine regularly. When someone is told that they have to do a movement in order to live a functional life, even if it doesn't feel good, it can reduce adherence to exercise, it can increase dissatisfaction with exercise, and ultimately affect results. So to claim that you aren't going to be able to live your life without injuring yourself unless you do weighted squats just is not true, and I'll speak to that today. So first, let's start by talking about the benefits of squats. I never want you to take away or to step away from my episodes and think that I am demonizing any movement or that you shouldn't do a movement if you're enjoying it and if you like your reasons behind it. And there can be lots of benefits to squats, and I want to talk about that. So first, there's tons of variations of squats, but for today's purposes, we'll speak to a squat with kind of both your feet on the ground and either a barbell on your back or holding a weight or a kettlebell or whatever in front of you. So really any variation of a two-legged squat. Where you hold the weight will slightly change the load to the tissues, but we aren't getting into the details of that in today's episode. We will also make the assumption that you're squatting with heavy enough weight to get to failure or near failure in less than 30 reps, which is how you train for hypertrophy or muscle growth. So a squat can effectively build muscle and strength, specifically in the glutes, three of the quad muscles, and the lower back. People say that squatting is a good core exercise, but there are some misconceptions here. So squats don't load the front side of the core or the abdominals at all. They actually load the back side of the trunk or the lower back musculature. So although the lower back is often included in the core, many people think that core means abdominals. But since squats don't load and strengthen the abdominals, they shouldn't replace loading and strengthening the abs. This is why we individually target each muscle group 1 to 2 times per week, including the abdominals, because there's no one exercise that's a catch-all that will effectively load each muscle group in one fell swoop, squats included. Squats do train the deep core musculature, but any exercise that requires bracing to lift, which is almost any exercise, will increase what's called intra-abdominal pressure. And therefore, when you increase your intra-abdominal pressure, you reflexively contract deep core muscles like your diaphragm and your pelvic floor, causing them to adapt and get stronger if you're breathing and bracing properly. So a squat doesn't necessarily train the deep core muscles more than another lift where you're exerting effort and have to increase that intra-abdominal pressure. So do squats train your core? Yes, to the extent that they load and strengthen the lower back and the deep abdominal muscles, but they're not training the front side of the abdominals, so that six-pack muscle. They're not really training the obliques. So to say that they're training the abs isn't really true. It's kind of a misconception. Another benefit of squats is that there'll be higher demand for your cardiovascular system than an exercise that requires less muscular stability and less muscular control. This means that squats can be great for improving things like VO2 max, which is a great way to improve your cardiovascular health. Squats will also cause improvements in overall strength, generally to a slightly greater degree than more quote-unquote isolated lifts, like something like a knee extension machine at the gym for the quads or a hip thrust for the glutes. Squats may also be prescribed by your physical therapist if they are evaluating your movement pattern and helping you with pain or a specific goal. But remember that treating pain and injury is different than general fitness. This is why we never, at Nevla, we never claim to treat pain or replace physical therapy. Because if you're having pain with a certain movement, although there are ways to modify around and help you continue to exercise in ways that feel better, if you're continually having pain in your daily life, like every time you pick up your kid, you're having back pain, you really do need to go see a well-trained doctor of physical therapy who can evaluate your body and set a plan for you based on your needs. So when would you choose squats over other lower body exercises? Here are some reasons why you may choose squats over other exercises. Number one, if you enjoy them and if they don't hurt your body. I think that's the biggest reason to choose them. Some people just love squatting heavy and it doesn't hurt them. It feels really good. They continue to progress. Amazing. I think that's a great reason. Number two, if you want to increase strength in that particular movement pattern for a competition, like if you're competing in CrossFit or a powerlifting competition or something where you have to do that exercise, I do recommend doing squats. Number three, if they feel better in your body than another alternative lower body exercise, it is possible that squats could feel better than maybe lunges or a different lower body exercise. If they feel good in your body and you prefer them to other lower body exercises, do it. And then lastly, if your physical therapist is prescribing them to you because they have evaluated your body and your needs and they are treating your pain and giving you this specific exercise, then please listen to your physical therapist. Now, if none of those reasons resonate with you, let's talk about why you don't have to do them and what you could choose instead to achieve the goals of building muscle, staying functionally strong, and keeping your joints happy as you age. Many people don't like squats because of several reasons. Number one, it can feel really taxing on your joints and on your neuromuscular system. Neuromuscular fatigue will occur with any exercise taken close to failure, but may be more marked with something like a heavy squat. What is neuromuscular fatigue? What am I talking about here? Neuromuscular fatigue is exercise-induced decline in contraction force. In other words, as you exercise, fatigue accumulates and begins to limit your strength through as your workout goes on. This neuromuscular fatigue can last for days, depending on the exercise, depending on your training level, depending on your overall readiness, so like how well slept you are and more. Most of the time, neuromuscular fatigue is nearly gone by 48 hours, but it can last longer if you're choosing an exercise that's more fatiguing, like a heavy squat. This increase in fatigue can affect your performance in subsequent workouts, making it harder for you to stimulate muscle to a high degree to continue to see results. So if you're someone who you're like, I feel gassed after doing squats, not only right afterwards, but sometimes for days afterwards, and it's affecting the effort that I can contribute to my subsequent workouts, this might be a reason why squats may not be the right exercise for you right now. You may find that more quote unquote isolated exercises are easier for you to recover from, or exercises that require less muscle groups. And maybe doing exercises that are more focused don't take away from the effort that you can put forth in your workout the next day. So that could be why squats make you feel overall more fatigued and gassed, and a reason why you may dread them, and a reason why maybe there's other exercises that will suit your body better. Another reason why squats often don't feel good for many people is because of their body proportions, the physical length of their bones that you can't change. For example, if you have a longer torso compared to the length of your legs, you will have an easier time folding into a squat while keeping the trunk upright. So if you've ever seen people that can just squat all the way down to the floor really easily, it looks like it's no effort. They can keep their trunk upright. They don't have to bend forward. They don't really get stuck. This is likely because they have the body proportions that allow them to keep their center of mass over their foot while completely folding all the way down. Because you don't have to bend forward as much from the hips due to your body proportions, this type of person who has a longer torso in relation to their legs will load the lower back less. So squats may feel more comfortable for someone's lower back if they have a longer torso relative to their leg length. But many people think that if they can easily squat ass to grass, that means they have good hip mobility, they have good core strength, they have good ankle mobility, they have strong hips. And while all these things are certainly factors, it's generally more so due to the genetic length of their bones. They're usually better at squatting or can squat easier because of the length or the body proportions that they have. On the contrary, someone with longer femurs or longer thigh bones may have a completely different squatting mechanics. They may have to bend forward more at the hips to keep their center of mass centered over their feet so they don't fall backwards. Many times they have to hinge further forward, which will increase the load to the lower back. And this may make them feel like the lower back stops them from doing more reps rather than their glutes or their quads stopping them. For people with these long legs or long femurs, this often feels really unsatisfying and leaves muscle growth on the table for the glutes and the quads, since the lower back is the limiting factor in this exercise. Many trainers don't understand the physics of this, so they'll blame someone's mobility, or they'll blame improper form of mechanics, or they'll blame low back weakness on why squats are uncomfortable and dissatisfying, when really it's just someone's physical length of their bones that's changing the mechanics of the exercise and potentially making something more uncomfortable for them. So if a trainer doesn't understand this, they make someone squat and they make them do all this mobility, and maybe they'll see some improvements, but it will never really change the length of their femur bone. So the issue will never fully resolve unless they simply choose a different exercise that fits their body proportions better. And of course, there's things that you can do. You can take a wider stance, things like that. But I'm under the belief that it's like, why don't we just choose a different exercise that this person enjoys more, that fits their body better, instead of trying to stuff their body into this specific movement or exercise? Because a lot of times you're wasting so much time on forcing someone's body into a movement that just doesn't fit their body proportions, whereas they could just be using that time to build muscle and get stronger by simply choosing other exercises that feel better. It makes me really sad when people have been told that they just need a stronger core or better mobility so that these exercises won't hurt. We're blaming these people's bodies instead of blaming the movement. Because here's the thing, maybe it's not your body. Maybe it's just the movement that doesn't fit your body. Now, could everyone afford to improve their mobility and get stronger in their core and lower back? Yes. But choose an exercise that fits your body better, feels more satisfying, loads the tissues we are trying to change with less strain through your joints. And if you do those things, if you find an exercise that ticks all those boxes, you're going to feel so much better, you'll stay consistent, and you'll see better results. I'm a big believer in understanding what is the goal, or kind of identifying what is the goal. The goal generally, when we're talking about general fitness, is to get stronger and build muscle, and choose an exercise that achieves that goal instead of trying to force your body to fit into a movement. But this begs the question, if I don't do squats, am I going to miss out on functional improvements that will translate into my everyday life? Am I screwing myself over by not doing squats? Is this going to hurt me later in life when I go to do a squat in my daily life? The answer is, as long as you're strengthening your lower body adequately, you are not missing out on functional strength to stay strong and capable in your everyday life. It is true that when you practice a certain movement, you will get better at it and therefore stronger in it. This happens with any movement. It's called neuromuscular education. Your neuromuscular system, or the coordination between your brain, your spinal cord, and the muscles, gets more efficient at coordinating and engaging muscles in the proper patterning that makes you stronger in that specific movement. So although this will happen with any exercise, squats included, this mechanism has been misinterpreted and blown out of proportion, with people believing that if you don't squat or if you don't do certain movements, that you won't have functional carryover into your everyday life. But training the muscles that are involved in a squatting pattern, so mainly the quads, the glutes, and the lower back, by using just different exercises in a squat will still translate into improved squat strength and will have translation into function in your daily life. In other words, there is crossover in strength in movements that require those muscles, even though you aren't training them in that particular pattern. You could use step-ups for the glutes, sissy squats for the quads, and let's say cobras for the low back, and still improve your squat strength even if you aren't squatting regularly. Now, it may not be as much as if you were to squat regularly, but you will likely get more than enough strength to be able to stay safe and functional in the movements in your daily life. So let's go through some literature behind this. One study demonstrated this by looking at strength improvements in two scenarios. So one group in the study did single joint exercises, while the second group did multi-joint exercises. The single joint exercise group did exercises like leg extension, so that works the quads, it's like a machine at the gym, and dumbbell reverse flies, which would work primarily the backside of the shoulder, a little bit of the upper back. The multi-joint group did things like bench press and squats. They measured the strength of these groups in bench press and squats before and after the study. What they found is that there were similar increases in strength in bench press and squats, even in the single joint group that wasn't performing these exercises. This shows that you will see an increase in strength in a squat by overall strengthening the muscles involved in a squat, whether or not you're doing that pattern each week. Which means that when it comes to performing squat-like movements in your daily life, your body will be stronger and stable in that movement, regardless of if you are regularly performing squats or if you're choosing different exercises that still load and strengthen the lower body and trunk. Another study demonstrated something similar. This time, they had the groups do one exercise on one leg and another exercise on another leg. So they had single joint exercises on one leg. So this was knee extension for the quads, the knee extension machine at the gym, and knee flexion for the hamstrings. And they had the second leg of the same person do leg presses. They measured their strength in all three exercises before and after the study. So they measured the strength in both legs in the leg press, the knee extension, and the knee flexion. Even though the groups were not doing all three exercises, both groups increased strength in all three exercises. The leg press leg did see slightly larger strength increases, but the researchers concluded that the differences were small and practically insignificant. And I think that the researchers state this really well in their discussion. They say, "The present study suggests that a general strength increase is possible, which might provide transference to other exercises and potentially other movements. We propose that this is often a more desirable outcome in resistance training, not the improvement in strength of specific exercises movements, but rather improved functioning across multiple movements as well as in daily life by a more general increase in strength." In other words, you don't have to do a specific exercise to be stronger in that exercise. Getting stronger overall, regardless of the exercise chosen, will have transference into making you more functional and stronger in your daily life. Whew. Additionally, squatting in a controlled environment in your workout where you have the time to get your feet set, you have the time to take a breath, you can have perfect form, you don't have to lift awkwardly, you can lift at your own pace. All of these things don't usually happen in real life because odds are when you are doing a squatting motion to pick up a heavy piece of furniture, you have to kind of lift it awkwardly. Like your form isn't exactly the same as it would be in the gym. Or if you're picking up a heavy, squirming, screaming kid, you don't necessarily have perfect form when you're doing this. You just gotta kind of get the job done. You may be able to focus on perfect form in those scenarios, but to say that you won't have enough strength and stability to do this without harming yourself unless you train squats is just not true. In fact, if you're forcing yourself to squat because you've been told you have to in order to be functional, even though maybe it makes your back hurt the next day or you hate them so you aren't really pushing yourself and getting close to failure because you're kind of half-assing the sets just to get through, or you're spending so much time on strengthening your back or mobility that you aren't actually spending enough time strengthening your legs and glutes and trunk muscles, you aren't going to feel very good lifting that thing in your daily life. Whereas if you choose exercises for the lower body that feel good on your body and that you enjoy more and that feel better on your joints, your body is going to be stronger, your adherence is going to be better, and your joints will likely feel better afterwards. This translates into a stronger body and just feels better. A stronger body that feels better is going to be a more functional body outside of your workout, whether that's doing squats or not. That said, what exercises you are swapping squats for is important. I always say not every exercise is created equal, but here are some of our favorite exercises that are effective for building strength and muscle in the legs, assuming that you are using enough resistance to get 3 or less reps shy of failure in under 30 reps. So something that I talk about in a lot of episodes, but if you're going past that 30 reps, even though it might feel hard and it might burn, it's not likely to build muscle. So let's start with the glutes. Some of our favorites include Bulgarian split squats, glider lunges, deficit lunges, step-ups, hip thrusts, and really lots of different lunge variations. Now, any single leg variation, which most of these are single leg variations, which we love, can improve strength and muscle mass as much as squats, but potentially be less stressful on the lower back than squats. And this is because with a single leg exercise, you can use less weight, so you can hold a lighter weight and get less vertical load through the trunk. Because if you think about it, only one leg is contributing to the exercise, whereas when you have both legs on the ground in a squat, you have to use twice the amount of resistance to get the same amount of load. Note that with single leg work, we do it a little differently than I think most trainers. We use a wall or a chair in your opposite hand, and that increases the stability of your trunk and your hips, which can improve neuromuscular output and therefore improve the results of the lift. It also helps decrease pain or discomfort in the knee or the low back if you experience any of that with lunge variations or step ups, etc. All right, so that's the glutes. Let's move on to the quads. Some of our favorites for the quads include sissy squats, matrix, ball wall sit, and then hamstrings. Some of our favorites for the hamstrings are something like a kneeling hamstring curl. We kneel on a stool and kind of curl the heels up towards the glutes. If you work out at a gym, a seated hamstring curl machine is also great. One thing to note about choosing these exercises over choosing squats is that they may not be as time efficient because they're focusing on one muscle group at a time rather than trying to hit everything at once. So if time is a constraint for you and squats do feel good and you enjoy them, they may be a good option for you. But when you choose exercises that more specifically load one muscle group at a time instead of having each muscle group contribute more to the lift, you will find that you can give each muscle group higher quality effort. In a squat, you likely won't have both the glutes and the quads fatigue at the exact same time. Usually you're stopped by one or the other, or you're stopped by the lower back. So if the lower back stops you, for example, you'll have to go do other exercises for both the glutes and the quads in order to get good stimulus to both of those muscle groups. So it may not be as time efficient as it seems since you have to go off and do other exercises anyways. Additionally, squats don't target the hamstrings and rectus femoris, which is a quad muscle, very well. to get sufficient load to those muscles, you will have to do separate exercises for those specific muscles anyways. So on the surface, squats may look like a catch-all. They may look more time efficient, but when you look at the stimulus to each individual muscle in the lower body, they may not be as efficient as they seem. Okay, so let's sum all of this up. Squats can be a great exercise if they feel good for you, if you enjoy them, if you aren't limited by something by your lower back, if you're feeling stronger. I don't want to make you afraid of doing squats. But if none of these resonate with you, if they don't feel good for you, or if you dread them, or if you feel like your back limits you from getting good quality work to the glutes and quads, you don't have to do them to see muscle growth and functional strength increases. Don't let anyone tell you that you have to do any exercise in order to be functional and safe in your daily life. This doesn't just go for squats. This goes for any exercise that you're not loving. Swap it out. Understand your goal. Identify the goal, which is usually gaining muscle and or getting stronger, and choose an exercise that helps you achieve that goal. We shouldn't be afraid of any movements, but I just wanted to explain that if something doesn't feel right, there are so many roads to roam, and exercise will never be a one-size-fits-all. I want to empower you that you can mold movement to fit your body instead of forcing your body into a movement with load and repetition week by week if it doesn't feel right. I personally haven't done squats in years. I used to do them and I used to have chronic back pain, and squats never really felt good on my back. I always kind of felt uneasy doing them, and I always felt like I was on a hairpin trigger, like bending over to pick something up would hurt my back. I did all of the core, I did all of the mobility work, and I still just did not feel good doing squats. They made me less functional in my daily life because I was afraid of movement because my back just did not feel good. And I've seen this with many of my past physical therapy clients when I was practicing, and even friends of mine. They would force themselves to do squats because they've heard that they're functional, they've heard they're a staple, but their back continued to give them problems until they simply took out squats and strengthened their body in other ways. And all of a sudden, they felt so much better and they were seeing better results. So I know that there are many people who will get relief from hearing this. And I think just understanding that we need to make exercise fit our bodies, not the other way around, can make a huge difference in your life, because you are going to enjoy training more, you'll stay more consistent, and you'll continue to get stronger and see better results. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. We will see you all next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.